disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
O life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
This evening on faith, and we've got a title for our teaching, Revelation in Asking. Revelation in Asking. And I want to base this tonight from the Gospel of John, John chapter 16. We all know this very well. John chapter 16, and the verse I want to take primarily is verse 23. We're calling this Revelation in Asking. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And it also incorporates obviously verse 24, of which it says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So here the scriptures show that as yet we haven't really asked, but in asking there is a blessing to it, because it says that your joy may be full. In other words, through your faith, your prayers being answered, the prayer of faith, your joy may be full, because you receive that according to the word of God, what you are believing for, and it manifests with great joy, great pleasure, and praising God. And that is the Father's heart. That is part of the deeper life. But sometimes we lose sight of this. And we know we are growing, we are moving forward, we are all a spiritual work in progress. But I believe the Lord wants to show something tonight that possibly we might not have considered or grasped with regard to what Jesus is saying here. Now, in the context of what is being said here, he is shortly to leave them. He's preparing to go to the cross. He knows before the Father what is to come. He knows what is going to fulfill and please the Father's heart. And he's preparing in obedience to face the cross. And he's also telling them that he's going to leave. He's going to leave them, but he will come back. And of course, they don't understand all of this, as we know the story well. And so he says, I have to go away to be glorified. He has to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we've been spending much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit over the last 2 weeks on our Sunday meeting. And they are online for you to listen to the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But we've spent much about this, the Holy Spirit coming as the Comforter. And we note what he says here. He says, in that day you will ask me nothing. In other words, in that day. What day? What is he talking about? Is he talking about today? Or is he talking about 200 years ago? Or nearly 2,000 years ago? What exactly is he saying? Well, we need to understand this, don't we, in light of Scripture. You see, the baptism of the Spirit has come to make us one with the Father. And until Christ is formed in you, you still have many questions. You're still not quite settled. Because the work of the Holy Spirit, He has come baptizing us to bring us in unity and oneness with God Almighty Himself. And that is a process. It takes time. That is why we believe in sonship. We believe that as the bride makes herself ready, as God unveils in the last days to groaning creation, the sons who have matured in the faith, in relationship, consecration with God, He's going to reveal His work, what the Holy Spirit has done, why He has come, the purpose of the Spirit in which to bring in the last days the sons of God that will come forward. And this will reveal to groaning creation, to the world, that they have this relationship with the Father, as Jesus had His relationship with His Father. That is part of the understanding of the bride who's making herself ready. And we need to understand this, bearing this in mind. But you still have many questions. Turn with me, for example, quickly to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, that is the apostles' prayer. He is praying that they will come to a revelation, an understanding and experience of Christ formed in them. Spiritually, this is. We know this because there are some problems. They're unstable, this Galatian church. For example, in verses 9 and 10. In verses 9 and 10 it says, "But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." Now we know that the warning to the Galatian church was that they began in the spirit and finished in the flesh. And one of the problems with the Galatian church was they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait for Christ to be formed in their lives. In other words, to grow and mature. Which is a lot of the problems with a lot of Christendom. It can even be our problem. This is why you have to learn. When you come to Christ and you become a believer, you will learn something pretty quickly with the Lord, that there is also a school of waiting. This walk is also a waiting. And that waiting, so much of it is Christ being formed in you and I. This is absolutely paramount for us to understand with regard to revelation in asking. You see, busy Christians will never be able to endure this because they like to be busy. They believe that being busy, that makes you spiritual, it makes you productive, it makes you active for God. But we know that many busy Christians have a very shallow relationship and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is one of the big problems. And this is why little faith is found. This is why in prayers, in asking God, their prayers are not answered. Because they're too busy doing for God instead of being, which is a vast difference. The bride of Christ, she doesn't have to do, be busy. She's learning to be before God. That is how she prepares herself. That is the revelation she has for the last days. And so they lack this relationship. They often lack a prayer life, a walking close with the Lord. This is why we have the imagery of Revelation 12 of the man-child. The man-child is in the womb of the woman, not only for her, for the child, the man-child, this company of overcomers to be developed to full maturity, to the full spiritual 9 months, but we're also in that condition to stop us from being busy and get involved in things that God doesn't want us involved in. This is the mind and wisdom of God. Because you are being prepared. The church that God is calling out in these last days to be restored back under apostolic faith and anointing is a church that is being prepared for the future. We are being prepared for warfare. We are being prepared to minister and rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, most don't see that. They haven't a clue of that because they're so busy in their churches trying to get the churches filled with people, trying to evangelize, trying to do good works, trying to be a Christian, trying to believe. The word trying. And there is the problem. As we're going to look at this. You see, Scripture tells us, and particularly in the last days, that there are many who have the form of godliness. Let's turn quickly, we know this well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And so these sort of people who have this form of godliness, busyness, eventually, when the trials come and the tests come, they fall away. Because you cannot fool God. And many have this form of godliness. They appear outwardly Christian, but the trials and tests will prove it. And it reveals that they do not have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. That is the weakness. It means, in other words, that they have an image, an outward impression. That's how it reads in the Greek. They have an outward form. Outwardly, they reveal they're Christian. But in the spirit, in the heart, they are not. Because the heart is not being changed. It's not being touched. Many of them don't have time for the Holy Spirit to touch them in the inner man because they're too busy. And they certainly haven't got time to listen to a sermon that maybe will go on for an hour or an hour and a half. They want 20 minutes at the most because they want to be then busy for the Lord. And there are so much of the problems. Now look at Galatians 4, verse 19. Back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This isn't the same. This is a different formation. This is a different working. It's saying the necessity of change. What is being said here by the apostle, it's an inward change. What it actually means is, it means a moral and spiritual conformity to Christ. That is what it's meaning. A change, a moral, spiritual conformity to Christ. So there we are. There we see that this change in our heart by the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential with regard to what we're talking about tonight, about revelation in asking. Now, bearing that in mind, let's begin now to look what I believe is really being said here. And we go back to John 16. And here he says in verse 16, what we're looking at in verse 23. I need to get back to John. I mean Galatians. Bear with me a minute. Right, Galatians 16, verse 23. And he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. In that day. What is he saying here? Until the oneness in the Godhead is formed in you, you still don't quite believe. You still have many questions and many answers. That is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Spirit, that you have a revelation, a realization, an experience of the Godhead formed in you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the maturing and the raising up of the sons of God in this last day. You have to be shown it. You have to experience this. It's not just a theological looking in the Word. This is actually real, revealed to you. Now, all of this, of course, we have received. We have, but we don't understand it. It takes time. The flesh, the will, still at times gets in the way. And this is why in the deeper life, the cross is introduced into our lives. So that the cross, spiritually working now in us, enables and helps us to yield to the Spirit as he works in our life, instead of resisting him. In order that we come into this realization and experience of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But until then, we still have many of these questions and these answers that we want to know. When all these questions are gone and you've nothing more to say, you have then come to a place of faith and a reliance on Christ in you. And this is absolutely paramount in receiving, in what we're talking about in verse 23 here. In other words, the Godhead, the Father himself, you have and you experience that relationship with him. You see, we do all, don't we, in the name of Jesus, to have that revelation of the Father. That is the purpose of doing everything in the name of Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. We do it in the name of Jesus so that we have a revelation of our Heavenly Father. I spoke about this again on Sunday, about crying out, Abba Father. I gave the meaning of what that actually means. All of that again is to be found. But you see, you may not still always understand. We're always in the process of learning all the time, but it doesn't come between you and God. In other words, the process of your learning the Word of God, because we can't ask outside the Word of God. We ask within the revelation of God's Word. What is there, we ask confidently. But we still, at times, have questions. We still want answers. But you know, you will come to a place, even though God may not always tell you, but it doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect your stand with God. And that's what this is all about. It doesn't matter what I think or what other people think. It's what is revealed in the Word of God. And that's all that matters. And we are, all of us, as we grow, we're coming to a place where we're no longer beginning to ask why, when, how, or why didn't this happen, or whatever it is. We're learning it doesn't matter. All that matters is that I do my Father's will. Whatever it appears or look like or whatever it is. All that matters is I walk each day in unity, harmony and oneness with God. And all of this is achieved through Jesus Christ. We do everything in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the one that reveals the Father to us. He said exactly the same to the disciples when they asked, Lord, show us the Father. And he said, have I been so long with you that you don't see? When you see me, you see the Father. Because it is the Father that is glorified. God is our Father. And that's what this is about. This is the revelation of asking, which he's showing here. And he says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So it's in my name that you see and experience the Father, because he is the one who gives ultimately. So in other words, in that day you will ask me nothing. You won't need to ask, because you will be certain and assured that God will reveal things according to his word. Why will you be so assured on this? Because you are one with the Father. You are hearing Father. That is why. You're not asking questions anymore. You're not allowing the carnal mind to try and carnally work things out, which we've done in the past. We've still tried to assimilate our faith carnally in the mind, and you can't. Faith is supernatural. It is revelation. The same as your walk is supernatural. You cannot get to the Father in any way or form or mean through the flesh. And that is why the flesh has to be crucified in order to receive, as he says here. And yet we have still tried at times to get to God through the flesh, through the emotions. This is why I say that faith has nothing to do with how you feel or emotions. Yet God has given us emotions. They are divinely given. And very often when you find that your prayers have been answered and you see the manifestation of what you've asked for, then the emotions can be there to worship and praise God. But your emotions were not governing you in your believing. It was your faith. It was your relationship with your Heavenly Father, because you hear what your Father is saying. That is what it's all about. That is what He wants of us tonight. Our Heavenly Father wants us to hear what He's saying. Not what this preacher is saying. Not what the pastor is saying. It's what our Heavenly Father is saying. That is the key to all of this. And so then we ask according to His word. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There you are. Your hearts are no longer troubled. In asking of your Heavenly Father, you have that peace. You have that assurance. You know that the Father has heard you. I'm reminded of Jesus when He was called to pray for Lazarus. And all He said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Come forth, Lazarus." Praise God, He said his name. Otherwise, if He didn't say, "Come forth," all the dead would have to rise. But He knew what His Father had said. And He was in no rush, because the time He got there, as we know the story, they said, "You should have come a few days ago. He wouldn't have died. He's dead now." See? But Jesus was in no rush. Why? Because He was one with His Father. He heard what the Father was saying. He heard the Word. And the Word that we hear is revelation. You cannot get this intellectually, mentally, which we have tried to do. We're growing up now, brothers and sisters. This is real stuff that we're moving into now in these last days. And it's just got nothing to do with how you feel, or whether you feel more spiritual today, that you could move mountains. Nothing at all to do with that. It's because you hear what your Heavenly Father is saying. That's the question. And it becomes real. It's no more questions. It's no more doubt. It's no more unbelief. You're not looking for answers. You're not looking for explanations with the mind and the intellect. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't my prayers get answered? Why did that sister die? So on. We've all been through it, because we've come out of a lot of that. But that's not what God has predestined us for. It's not what we're moving in for. We are being trained to hear and know what our Father says. That is the whole point of this. That is what sonship is about. We're realizing that we don't receive any of this through the carnal mind. We don't receive this through fear and anxiety, which so often tries to trap us and impress us with, or press us, I should say. No. We hear because we're one with the Father through Jesus Christ. And so you look for this, don't you, in your spirit. Because in your spirit, you are at peace, you are at one with Him. In other words, you are one with Him with your new true nature, that new nature that you have in Christ Jesus. You know that in that asking, nothing separates that, because you have heard the Father. You are one with Him. You know He has granted that. And you have the peace, you have the assurance, and you can wait if necessary, because sometimes we know very often with our prayers, with our asking, there is a waiting period. But you're still at rest, you're at peace, because you are one in nature with Him. You know in your faith, in your asking, you cannot be separated. You're in complete agreement and harmony with God. See, that's the point. That's what He wants you to experience. But so often, we look in the wrong nature. Now, I'm not talking about two natures, because we know we have one nature and it's new, a new nature in Christ. But Satan has a way of counterfeiting. He has a way of beguiling you and looking to your old nature, thinking in your old ways, relying on things in your old ways, the things that you did in the past. That is all done away with. What you relied on in the past, those false things, they end when you become a new creation in Christ. Your anchoring is from above, not beneath. It completely changes and alters. But where Christians miss it is because they're still thinking in the old way. Satan grips many, and they still think, although they don't admit it, but they still act in the old nature, the old way. He's clever. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that's why He deals clearly with fear and anxiety, those things that the world look for and rely on. It says you're delivered from all of that. Take no thought for any of those things. Why? Because we are one with our Heavenly Father. And nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father loves us. And He wants you to love Him with that fervent love. A love that is absolutely secure and sure. That is what verse 23 of John 16 is telling us. So Christ is being formed in us. Why? To rely on Him and His Word. Where we don't keep asking these questions, or we doubt, or whatever it is, it's so that we come into the revelation of our oneness with our Heavenly Father. That is the key to asking in faith. That is the assurance that your prayers are answered, because you are one with your Father. And this is why Jesus said, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. He will give you. It's not a hit and miss, which so often it's been. He will give you. No wonder Satan fights against this. No wonder the enemy has fought over the years with the faith teaching, because he knows what this is bringing us into. Your faith, my faith, in our Heavenly Father answering our prayers, this is what divides His kingdom. And this is why he is so fearful. And this is why he will attack the faith. He will keep you away from looking at the promises of God. He will try everything to stop you experiencing a relationship with your Heavenly Father. For the purpose, because you will be asking him in accordance with him. You will know what his will is. You will know what he's saying, which a lot of it is dividing Satan's stronghold. That's what Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry. That's why the demons cried out and he silenced them. It's being restored again, brothers and sisters, in the last day before the Lord Jesus comes. Do you think tonight Satan likes this teaching that I'm teaching? Surely not. Because this is what's defeating him. Our revelation, our experience of our Heavenly Father in our lives, our unity, our oneness with the Godhead. That is what the book of Ephesians is about. The bride being one with her husband, that one flesh. This is what God spiritually is doing now as the bride's making herself ready. We're being restored again through apostolic teaching and anointing back to the oneness that we have with the Godhead in the Spirit. That one. That oneness that can't be divided, separated. That's what Ephesians is all about. And that is why God is setting the ministries back into the church, to equip you for this, to prepare you for this, to train you for this, to restore you back for this, so that you have the power, the assurance, that you not only are one with your Heavenly Father, but you ask in agreement with him. You're in complete harmony and oneness. In other words, he's going to reveal to you, ask me, son. Ask me, daughter. It's already yours in Jesus' name. And it will never be contrary to the word of God, because it is all one in perfect harmony. That is why we learn the promises of God, for that very purpose. Can you not see your preparation over these years for the ultimate of what this is drawing us into? But you won't get this by being busy, busy, busy. You won't get this if you are fed up, nothing's happening. The point is, there is so much happening in your life and my life, spiritually. If our eyes will be open to see it, we would never complain again. We would never become bored again or look elsewhere where there's some action going on or whatever it is. We've had some leave because there's not action going on in the assembly. They want to go somewhere where it looks as though they're being Christian and they're doing the Christian thing. If evangelism is so special that churches say today, and is so right what they propagate, well then why is it they're not bringing converts in like they should be? And we've seen evangelists go out over a period of time. And one evangelist that comes years back, he admitted and said that most of my converts are a sham to Christianity. Why? Because the cost was never there. The cross was never there. So much of it is a broad way that is taught. Most today, when you talk about worship, consecration, commitment to Christ, most of it is so often associated with music, with worship in the church. That's their understanding of consecration. They do not understand Romans 12:1-2 is that you are the consecration. You are now under the new covenant, the altar, the sacrifice, the giving up. Most don't see that. But you see that. And how do you see that? Because your Heavenly Father has shown you that. And why is He showing you that? Because He's bringing you into revelation, understanding of Him, to walk with Him, to commune with Him, to ask of Him. And all this is done in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters, the revelation in asking. That is the work I believe God is doing. And we're coming to that place where we're not questioning anymore and asking why, when, how, or whatever it is. We are resting in Him because we know that He is working this in and through our lives. Because it's not by might nor by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father, thank you again this evening for this exhortation. Lord, we know in our hearts and spirit what you are really doing. Forgive us that we become impatient. Forgive us, Lord, that we still question or raise answers or suspicions or whatever it is. But Lord, we know in our hearts really what is happening. And Lord, we are so, so privileged. We are so blessed that we are the generation being prepared, being raised up, ready for future warfare, in bringing down Satan's strongholds, the dividing of his kingdom, the sons of God being caught away, being with you, ruling and reigning. Father, how can we doubt you? We each of us know, Father, that we walk with you. We're even here tonight because it's by the power of your Spirit. It doesn't lie within each of us. But Lord, we have seen something very special, something very great and wonderful that you have shown us, and it is that self-emptying, it is that kenosis experience, that we are emptied, that the fullness of God lives and dwells in and through us. This is why we cry out, Abba Father. And Lord, we know that we cannot accept anything less than that, than our oneness, our relationship with you, Father. And so again, Lord, thank you tonight for our gathering and bringing my brothers and sisters into the room. Lord, again, just be with them and bless them. Father, may they walk in that consecration that you have set for them. Help them to have that peace and that assurance. Bring them to the Father, that they may know that true unity and oneness, Lord, that Christ may be formed in and through their lives. And be with them, Father, when they go out and when they come in. Give your angels charge over them. Keep them from the evil one, from temptations. Father, keep them in divine health. May the law of life and not the law of death flow through their whole being. Renew their youth like the eagles, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him. Before the foundation of the world,